everyone, and welcome back to the Wake Up with Jesus and Coffee podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Forrester, and again, I'm being joined by my husband, Matt.
I was here at home.
He was here at home, and he has a lot to say about the topic for today.
I'm still not 100% on what it is, but I will answer accordingly.
So, this is supposed to release on Tuesday, March 17th. Which everyone knows that is St. Patrick's Day.
If you hadn't told me, I would not have
known. Yes, you would have known, Matt. And there's reasons why he knows. But
if you pinch me, we're going to have trouble.
Okay, you can just kiss me, though.
That's worse.
Sorry, y'all. So instead of coffee, I am drinking Irish breakfast tea. Now, Matt, tell us why instead of coffee we would be drinking Irish breakfast tea.
Because we're changing the name of the podcast.
No, we're not.
So, Hannah and I went to Ireland last August. We spent 9 days there. And, you know, I drank a lot of coffee here at home before we went. Did not drink hot tea hardly ever. On occasion when I had a sore throat or something, maybe. I like it. I just, you know, not something I actively sought out. So while we were there, in the mornings they would bring coffee and tea both mm-hmm. to the table. And they had little sugar cubes on the table. It was very English mm-hmm. because Ireland is basically
it's
England. The Republic of Ireland is the southern part. The northern part still controlled by. But anyway, that's new here nor there. So they'd bring both to the table. And so the first couple days, I drank coffee because that's what I'm used to, and then started trying the tea, decided I liked the tea, started adding cream and sugar cubes to my tea, and by the end of the trip, was like hooked on Irish tea, which the Irish breakfast tea has a different.
It's different than your normal black teas that you get over here, but I'm the same way. Y'all know I love my coffee, and I would start out drinking the coffee over there because, you know, I'm a two-cup type of girl. So
you're a 15-cup type of girl.
But I'd start out that morning drinking a cup of coffee, and then because it was there at the table, I'd pour me some tea as well. And every morning that I drink it, I was like, oh, my goodness, this is really good. And so by the end of the trip, I think I was just drinking breakfast tea, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's the difference is when you think English tea or Irish tea, your first thought is more English for Earl Grey and some of that kind of flavor, or you know, a similar black tea. But Irish breakfast tea has a different tea leaf in it. If I remember correctly, it's one that's kind of from India. It's called the Assam tea leaf.
Assam.
And it has a little bit more powerful flavor than something like Earl Grey has. So it's a little bit different flavor, but it is delightful.
Oh, it's so good. And the brand, because we've tried a few different brands, because there for about a month after we got back, I craved that tea.
Oh, I had to have it.
I had to have it, and I was not happy until I got it. And so we tried a few different kinds over here and finally landed on this kind called Taylor's.
I landed on it.
Well, you landed on it, yes.
So I have not been able to find this in normal grocery stores. Well, I found it in Publix, which I guess is not a – maybe it is a normal grocery store. I don't know. Either way, Publix is the only place I've seen that carries this brand. The brand is, again, Taylor's. And it's the only one that tastes like what we had in Ireland. Matter of fact, it may be what we had. It is that close.
Yeah.
And so since then, I am a 2 cup of tea kind of guy. I maybe have 1 cup of coffee a week, maybe 2. I drink that tea now instead. And I just love it.
I still drink my coffee. I'll admit I've cut down from 3 cups of coffee to 2, and I've replaced my 3rd cup with tea. So
that's not great.
But yeah,
you shouldn't be cutting down on coffee. Your podcast is named wake up with Jesus and coffee.
Well, it's the caffeine. So maybe I need to know. Switching to decaf is a sin. So and tea generally has less caffeine. So it helps cut down that. Anyway, now that we've talked enough about what we're drinking today, let's take some time and let's get into our main topic. But before we do that, just wanted to touch on some things that's going on in our world right now.
What kinds of things are going on in our world right now?
To take it to a serious note, everyone knows that the coronavirus, COVID-19, has been, now that we're recording this podcast,
it's, at the time it's, of recording, yeah, it's
a global pandemic. It's shut down schools. My job has told me to basically work from home at this point. I mean, there's whole cities that are on lockdown right now. And then, you know, that's just in the U.S. And then overseas, you've got Italy and China where thousands of people have died. And, you know, the cities are just shutting down. But Matt, what's your thoughts on all this? And from a biblical perspective, how are we supposed to approach the coronavirus as Christians?
Well, I'm not going to have a long thought out thesis on this probably, but from a biblical standpoint, I've seen a lot of incorrect responses, such as people saying, you know, well, if I do anything to show that I'm, I wouldn't say afraid of the virus, but, you know, I'm not trying to get it, that's living in fear, and God said that he wouldn't allow sickness to interrupt our lives, and some of this kind of stuff. And there's been a lot of misquotes of biblical texts and things that, you know, stuff taken out of context to make it seem like if you're faithful enough, you won't get sick. Mm-hmm. Well, that's horrifically wrong and a terrible way to look at what those verses mean. So, as Christians, how we're supposed to handle it, we are, I feel like, supposed to be the light of the world, so we should be leading the charge as far as, you know, helping to make sure that your hands are clean or whatever things that they come out with to say, you know, that you should do these things to try and slow the curve of this thing down. We should be helping with those kind of things, and you know, we shouldn't be pretending that it's not a real thing and that we have this magic shield around us, because we don't. We may get the virus while we're, you know, out there trying to help and doing our part. But that doesn't mean that we don't have faith or that God doesn't love us or that God's left us or anything like that. It's, you know, it's what's going on in the world and the way that Christians handle it and handle other people and handle the situation while helping the situation is what's going to give God the glory for what's happening here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's important that as Christians, we also recognize that us as the creation, we haven't messed up the Creator's plan. You know, the Bible specifically outlines God's sovereignty. I mean, there's more verses than I can count to even back that up. And, you know, God, I wouldn't say God created the virus, because I've also heard that, and I'm like,
Yeah, that he created, or that the virus was created by the enemy to kill old people?
Yeah, no, not that either, but
that's horrifying.
It was willed by God, I will say. God allowed it. God allowed this to happen. God foreknew that this was going to happen. And so as Christians, I think, you know, in this time especially, we need to be looking to him. And John Piper said it best in one of his Desiring God.
He usually does.
They were talking about the coronavirus, and he brought up the point that, you know, maybe God is using this as a way to lead his people and then also the world back to repentance, and for us to, you know, stop for a second and stop focusing on everything else in the world and just refocus our eyes on him. Which could very well, you know, be why God did allow this. But, you know, regardless, God is sovereign, God is in control, and he's got a purpose and a plan for everything that's happening.
Yep. And you know, I want to say this too, that churches that are stopping their church services and making sure that, you know, extra guidelines and stuff are followed, that's not a bad thing. That's not being fearful or living in fear or whatever you want to call it. That is humanly handling the situation. God uses lots of things to heal situations. God mm-hmm. uses medicine. God uses doctors. So us doing our part and doing those kind of things isn't being fearful. It's living in the situation and being the light of the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as long as you're not, you know, doing something totally out of fear that something crazy is going to happen, but you do it out of love for other people so that we don't spread this thing, there is nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've all made fun of it and all this kind of stuff because sometimes that's how we deal with things. But, you know, we have also seen lots of people that are just adamant that they're going to make sure that they still shake people's hands and all this kind of stuff. That's also not an appropriate response. There are people that have this thing that are showing no symptoms, and regardless of how,
as we're recording this, there was a case that was confirmed today of someone who tested positive
with no symptoms. Yeah. So if you want to act big and bad and pretend that it won't affect you and that it, you know, it won't hurt you, well, you're right, it probably won't, because the virus itself is really not that bad. But you take it back to grandma and don't know you have it, and grandma gets real sick and either almost or does die, and, you know, you could have prevented it by not being some kind of way. So we don't need to act like it's not serious. It's probably not going to infect you.
No.
You're probably not going to die, but at the same time, we don't want to be passing this thing around for no reason. So, you know, everybody do your part, do your thing, and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, and also, you know, just not from a health standpoint, but we all know what's going on with the stock market and, you know, finance world and, you know, economics. You know, both you and I, we work in the finance world to a degree, and we've seen just it's hurt a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Honestly, a lot of that kind of stuff is worse than the actual sickness itself.
So definitely we're going to be continuing to pray and just, you know, seek God during this time. And, you know, maybe God is using this, you know, as a way to draw us closer back to him, as, you know.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Christian, you know, be the light of the world. Do what you got to do. Do your part. Don't. You know, whatever you need to do to help not spread this thing, it's okay. That's not living outside God's will for this at all.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're scared and hoarding toilet paper so other people can't have it, you might have a sin issue. And also, we may need some toilet paper in a few days, so hit me up.
No, we're good. All right, so to transition into our main topic for today, because it is St. Patrick's Day, I thought that we would talk a little bit more about our Ireland trip and then also who St. Patrick really was. So, Matt, truthfully, what did you think of Ireland?
It was a lot like here, but everything was on the other side of the road.
that too.
We can get into my driving experience if you want to.
No. I don't think we have the time, dear.
Lord.
But they always say that the roads over there are so much more narrow. And then you go over there and you think, oh, they can't be that bad. No. It's rough.
Here's the thing. If somebody tells you about how narrow the roads are over there, and they, you know, they try and show you how narrow they are, take what they tell you in your mind and then make it even more narrow, because that's what it really is.
Yeah.
It's more narrow than people tell you it is.
We did have a situation in Kilkenny, Ireland, which the Garda, which is their police over there, was super nice to us, I will say.
I think they were shocked that an American tourist that had a small scuff up actually reported the accident, which goes to show that other countries sometimes think poorly of Americans, and there may be a reason for that.
Yeah. But
we're loud.
We're loud. Everyone over there was super nice, though. The food was delicious.
Apparently, that used to be a thing where people said that the food in Ireland wasn't that good.
I don't understand that. Do people just not like mashed potatoes and beef?
I don't know. Everything I had was phenomenal.
Give us beef.
Even if it was simple, it was phenomenal because of the freshness of it.
Yeah, everything's all very fresh, especially for someone with my dietary habits. It definitely helped. As soon as we got back to America, I'll say,
we
went to Shake Shack, and then we went to Chick-fil-A the next day, and for about a week, I was miserable, but we'll just say that.
Yeah.
But again, country is just gorgeous. It's as green as you would have ever imagined. There's so many different shades of green.
If someone tells you how green it is, take that level of green and add two more shades to it. It is more green than people tell you that it is.
It is. And the thing that I loved over there the most was the history and the culture.
And every time you saw a cow.
You want to tell them what I said?
No, you go ahead.
I go, cow!
Scare me to death. I'm already on the wrong side of the car.
If y'all don't know, we live in the South, so there's cows everywhere, but those were Irish cows.
They look the exact same.
But seriously, like, just castles and just monuments, just beautiful, like, thousands of years old. History.
Just on the side of the road.
Yeah,
just
over the
side of the
road.
You just drive by a castle like it's no big deal.
Yeah, and just so much history that we don't have the luxury of having over here. But it was gorgeous. So, to take it to a biblical and spiritual direction, mm-hmm. Our first day after we got off the plane, we...
Got in the car,
drove from the Dublin airport, and then before we got to Kilkenny, we stopped in this beautiful little town called Jerpoint, and we stopped at Jerpoint Abbey. And I remember it's this abbey that's hundreds and hundreds of years old.
There were some carvings, I said, from back in, like, 1100, right?
Yeah.
Old.
Gorgeous. And I couldn't help. So we were able, the roof was missing up at the top, but we were still able to climb up to the top portion of it. And when you look out, all you can see is just green as far as the eye can see.
And cows.
And I just remember just almost like just being so in shock. I cried, not because of, I dreamed about this moment for years, always wanted to visit, but just the emotional aspect of the fact of where we were standing at one point was, and still is, in my opinion, sacred ground, and how so many men and women went there, to worship, and it was beautiful, and it was a beautiful feeling.
If you want to experience some of the majesty of our Creator, the Bible would point out that it's all around us, when you go somewhere where they have history that old, and in a country where a lot of the countryside and the the plant life and all that stuff has been preserved like it has been, and you see things and experience things that you are not used to, you start to appreciate even more the grandness and just the scale of our Creator and what He made and who He is.
And I feel like over there they had such more of a appreciation of conserving history, but also conserving what were sacred places. I mean, when we were in Dublin on our last day, we got to see the Book of Kells, and that was really something to see.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, that said the Book of Kells
in the Trinity College Library.
Yeah, was it the Gospels that were recorded?
Yeah.
But it was written on, I want to say lambskin. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, there's a funny word for what exactly
it is.
The paper was, but it was something that's not easy to make.
And it was dated back from like what, 900?
800, 900, something. Yeah. Like that. And the different inks and things they use come from different colors, very expensive things. It's basically the Gospels written in this book on this special paper, and it is decorated.
It's so ornate. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, the amount of love and care that these people put into putting the Gospels down and trying their best to make them beautiful. I mean, it was breathtaking. And they won't let you take pictures of this book, so I just have mental photos, like Jim and Pam.
So, we actually went to St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin. Now, there's multiple St. Patrick's Cathedrals all over, but this one was specifically in Dublin that we went to.
Dublin. We were tired when we got to Dublin.
We were so tired. We had gone for 9 days straight, like from sunrise to sunup. And even longer.
Sunrise to sunup?
Oh.
Sunrise to sunset.
I can't
All day.
So, we all know that we celebrate St. Patrick's Day on March the 17th every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, you know, it's predominantly a Irish holiday that, you know, Irish immigrants over here. And I feel like it's become one of those holidays that Americans just celebrate, but they don't know what they're celebrating.
It's an excuse to drink.
Green beer.
Let's just call it what it is. It's another excuse to go out during the week and drink. Just like Cinco de Mayo. Nobody knows if that's like the Mexican independence. Everybody just goes out and eats tacos and gets trashed. Like, it's not okay.
Which is sad because when you get to the root of who St. Patrick was, why they celebrate, and why it's so important to the Irish, you know, it's nothing about that at all.
No.
The whole point of it was, you know, ultimately it's a celebration of the gospel being spread around the world. Because at that point, the gospel message really had not reached the Irish people at that point. And St. Patrick was the one who brought it to them, which at that point they were very pagan. You know, there was druids and all of that. There was child sacrifices going on. It was a very...
There was
some country.
Some semblance of Catholicism to a degree. Wasn't there? No?
No.
It wasn't? Okay. Mm-mm. So when he showed up, though, he brought a more Protestant style.
Well, technically, everything...
Kind of a mixture.
It's a mixture. So at that point, there wasn't really the Roman Catholicism that you have and the Protestant, you know, because Protestant Reformation didn't happen until Martin Luther, which was centuries after
but
that.
But, I mean, it wasn't 100% Catholic what he brought.
No, kind of what I'm after here. A lot of people, there's a difference between Roman capital RC Catholicism and then like Catholic Church. Like the church that we believe in is Catholic to a degree, because the meaning of Catholic means that it's built on the foundations of Jesus Christ. So as a whole, the church is Catholic, but they're not, you know, the big C Catholic Church.
Gotcha.
So yeah, and we won't go into there were some different theological differences that Patrick had, but we won't go into that as much. But the moral of the story is he is the reason why the gospel was taught to Ireland. So first of all, did you know that he was not Irish?
Yeah, he was a prisoner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was actually, he was born in the 4th century in Britain. His birth name was Maewyn Sukat. I think I'm saying that right.
Don't look at me.
I think that's how you say it.
He was the suit cat.
So his family at the time in Britain wasn't that, and I say that in quotations because you can't see me, so I'm doing quotation marks.
No, she's not.
His family wasn't that religious. But at the time, they did attend the local church gatherings just because it was a social thing to do. Even in the 4th century.
It's that way now.
That way now. Let's be honest. So even though St. Patrick, and who, you know, wasn't a saint then, Maewyn Sukat, however you say it. So even though he was around Christianity, in the Bible, in the gospel, he himself actually, by the age of 16, he identified himself as more of an atheist, or an agnostic.
Interesting.
So, like you said, when he was 16, he was actually, Irish pirates at the time raided his village.
The scariest kind of pirates.
You don't want to mess with regular Irish people, but like Irish pirates, that sounds really scary.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
I'm the captain now. Yeah, he was captured by Irish pirates and enslaved when they raided his village. And he was actually sold into slavery in Ireland. And at the time, it would have been closer to what is now Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Because the whole, you know, the...
Oh, towards Belfast.
Yeah, towards Belfast and up in that area is where he would. So he was sold into slavery, and he actually was sold to a druid, and he worked for him. And it was during that time...
Shapeshifter.
Yeah. So it was during that time, Patrick had never really experienced paganism at its form.
Sounds like he was about to.
And so I imagine from different historical articles I've read, it was probably a rude awakening. And he said that he heard a voice one night in his dream that later on he perceived to be God, basically telling him a way to escape and that he needed to get back to his home country and he needed to basically join a monastery. So he listened to the voice that he heard in the dream and he...
That's pretty profound.
I know.
For an agnostic person to be like, pretty sure I just heard God and I need to go join a monastery. Mm-hmm. Like that, you have to really... truly believe that to be true.
I know.
If you're like atheist and that happens, and you're just like, okay, that's it. I mean, that's experiencing.
I mean, that's the power of God right there. That is the power of God. God had a purpose. Kind of reminds me of Paul.
A touch. I was gonna say, you know.
So yeah. So he fled. He was able to escape, and he fled back to his hometown in Britain, and of course he decided to join a monastery, like the voice of the dream told him to, and it was there that he studied for 12 years.
We call that woodshedding.
Yeah. So he wasn't like, oh, you know, I'm a newfound convert. I'm going to go, you know, spread the message. No, he was determined to get educated and get in the word. And so he studied hard for 12 years. And it was really during that time that he felt this extreme calling to return one day to the land where he had been captured and convert pagans to Christianity. So after 12 years, he got back on the boat and sailed to Ireland, this time not as a slave, but as a freed person. And he was determined to spread the gospel. He also
sounds like he did.
Yeah, he did. He also, at that point, is when he changed his name to, now I'm going to butcher this one too. It's Patricia.
Not Patricia.
Patricia. Patricus or Patrick?
Patrick.
Patrick.
Let's just go with Patrick.
But basically, it was his Christian name. It was Patrick. So, during his time in Ireland, he had great success winning converts. He established schools while he was there, churches, monastery. Now, he was imprisoned several times while he was there, and a lot of the pagan worshippers and druids tried to run him out, of course, but apparently his influence really, you know, held tight, and now Ireland is predominantly Catholic?
I would say so, yeah, for the most part.
So, he definitely won out over the pagans.
Well, I wouldn't say Patrick won out over the pagans.
Well, God won out
there
over the pagans.
There we go.
God did the... Okay, so God does the changing, God does the saving, but he definitely used Patrick to spread his gospel throughout Ireland.
Absolutely. And by the way, while we're talking about this, St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll post some photos on the Instagram, because it was unbelievable.
And all of these, well, not all of them, but most of these churches and temples or what have you that are still standing that you can go visit, you have to go between certain hours because they still have services and choirs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're still operating in these buildings.
800-900-year-old buildings, and they're still operating church.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. Don't have that over here, that's for sure.
Our history doesn't reach back that long. It's not like we showed up and destroyed it all, but we just don't have that much running history like that.
Yeah. So, there's a few crazy myths out there about Patrick. One is that he drove out all the snakes in Ireland, which, I know.
Huh?
So, when you go to Ireland, that's one thing I really loved about it, because I am deathly afraid of snakes.
You saw as many snakes as you see here at home. None.
They're still here at home, though.
Oh, I've seen one or two on occasion. But there's not enough snakes here to warrant. I'm just making fun of you now.
Yeah. But still, snakes are not indigenous to the area. And there's this ancient myth that, you know, Patrick drove out all the snakes. But historical records, it's actually been put in like some history books, but people have been able to equate snakes with pagans. So actually he drove out all the pagans is what they're really saying, but there aren't any snakes. But
snakes also in the Bible are
evil.
Yeah, evil, yeah. The devil, you know, this
Satan,
kind of stuff. So
which is kind of interesting.
Just like, you know what I don't like?
Snakes. Yeah,
rid of them. It'd be impossible to kill every snake on a continent.
No, but it's the climate of Ireland.
It's cold.
It's cold. It's wet. They couldn't live there anyway. So it's a little dumb.
Silly.
But that's one of the myths out there. Another myth, which we heard about when we went to the Rock of Cashel, was that he banished Satan from a cave, which resulted in the rock forming in Cashel.
Oh, yeah. That strange.
Very strange.
Story.
The Rock of Cashel, though, was It's another beautiful national monument. A lot of history, a lot of bloodshed.
I bought a sweater while we were in Cashel.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful country. But yeah.
Yeah, that didn't.
That didn't happen. But it's just little fun myths that people like to talk about. So yeah. St. Patrick actually didn't become St. Patrick until around the 12th century, because there was no canonization at that time for the Catholic Church. And the Catholics in Ireland actually didn't start celebrating St. Patrick's Day until the 17th century.
Hmm. So he was just Patrick.
Yeah. He was just Patrick until the 12th century. So he was born in the 4th century. So, but they didn't start canonizing the saints and everything that such. And the reason we celebrate on March 17th is because that is the day he died. Another interesting tidbit. So, of course, we all know it was brought to the Americas. There's records of Irish immigrants celebrating in the Americas as early as the early 1800s. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
But it wasn't recognized as a national holiday in the U.S. until the 1900s, I want to say. Like the early 1900s?
Not sure.
Well, I did the research, not you.
You are correct. I have learned a lot from this, though. It's very interesting.
And my last little tidbit, because we all know how the Irish love their alcohol.
We do. I'll be honest with you, while we were there, we did not find that to be true. That seems to be
It's Americanized
view on Irish people, and it's not. First off, it's not appropriate to say stuff like that. It's kind of, I wouldn't say racist, but it's.
Yeah.
It really is
a terrible thing to say.
It's not true.
No, but I was joking about that. But for real, though, you go over there with the connotation that everyone's just a drunkard.
And it's always going to be a party.
No. I mean, they have stricter alcohol rules over there than we do over here. So that was another interesting tidbit, but apparently
I've seen people more drunk in Applebee's than anywhere that I've ever seen in Ireland.
Yeah. So, but up until the 1970s, so again, they've been celebrating over there since the 17th century. Up until the 1970s, the consumption and the sales of alcohol over in Ireland was banned on St. Patrick's Day.
It's almost like they wanted you to have a nice, sober holiday of a reminder of the good things that happened.
Of what this holiday is actually about. So, yeah, I hope we didn't bore y'all with our, just our reflection back on, our trip from last year and some of the facts about St. Patrick's. But, just remember that when we are celebrating today, we're not just celebrating, Irish, yay, Irish, kiss me, I'm Irish, look at the Irish, leprechauns and all that.
Again, all that kind of stuff. They really
don't like
that. For you to talk about that
they
kind
really
of stuff over
like
there
that.
Because it's not appropriate.
We are celebrating the restoration of a country, the fact that God was able to use this boy, 16 years old at the time, who got captured and enslaved over there, who considered himself an atheist, and used him to bring his gospel to an entire country.
An entire country the size of South Carolina.
Yeah, it's not that very big. But you're talking about, the scope of things, though.
Oh, no, I wasn't making fun. I just was saying that, I mean, that's legitimately the size of Ireland.
Yeah. So you have anything else to add?
One more fun little tidbit from our trip.
What?
So listeners here in the U.S. can hear, I'm sure, the southern drawl in our voices. We are from the south of the U.S. In Ireland, we were cool.
Oh, yeah, people loved our accents.
Yeah, this one guy, he was a Scottish guy in Galway. He said, I just love the way you talk. That long southern drawl is just so cool. And I'm like, really?
Because your accent's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, because back home, they think I'm an idiot. So, yeah, it was interesting to be in a place where the way you talk is different and it's neat. To be that outsider, it's very interesting. So, I may not be cool over here, but in Ireland, I'm a pretty neat guy.
Mm-hmm. To close, so, you know, we both have some Irish heritage.
More Scottish here.
You have more Scottish. I have more Irish English.
Sure.
But yeah, so just again, just remember why we celebrate. And then, of course, carry this on and into Easter, because Easter's coming up next month, and that's where the party really is going to begin, where we celebrate our Lord and Savior, you know, dying and then rising again.
Love Easter.
Love Easter. All right. Thank you again, y'all, for listening to the Wake Up with Jesus and Coffee podcast. And until next time.